ministering to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I think what we need to do now is we need to receive tonight's special offering. A special offering. Something special. Father, I thank you that tonight there are people who want to do something special for Steve and for his family. Want to do something over and above. I thank you, Father, for those who have been generous again and again. And yet one more time, you put a demand upon us. Lord, as long as we keep pouring out, as long as we don't run out of vessels, we'll never run dry. As long as we can keep going, finding another vessel, we'll always be full. And Father, tonight I speak over everybody in here who has financial needs. In the name of Jesus, I loose the blessing of God upon you. I loose the blessing of God on you right now in Jesus' name. You money warriors, you who care like the heathen. Whew. That's what heathens do. Jesus rebuked us for that. Why take you thought for what you eat or what you put on? Robes of righteousness are flowing in this place. Hallelujah. There are preachers of righteousness being raised up from this night. There are people that I've laid hands on, and people who are in this room received an anointing. The word of God is going to be richer in you than ever before. The Bible says the lips of the righteous feed many. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that our lips are going to feed many. I thank you, Lord, for raising up dozens and scores of preachers out of this revival, Lord. People who are not going to be ashamed of the gospel. People who are not going to hold back. I'm going to speak the truth in righteousness. Hallelujah. Man, it hasn't left yet. I've still got that anointing on me to preach. Hallelujah. No, not for me to preach. I prayed for somebody here earlier. Who was it? I grabbed them by the scruff of the collar. I wasn't going to have them fall down on me too quick. Thank you, Lord. Man, I am in one serious butt-kicking mood. Hallelujah. And it ain't anybody in here, trust me. It's the spirits that keep holding you all back. So were we taking an offering or weren't we? Where's the ushers? Come on, we need a special offering tonight. That Renee's having a good time. She started preaching. She saw it tonight. She's going to be a great preacher. Who really looking forward to being a great preacher for the rest of their life? Come on. Really, a preacher. Somebody who's not going to be ashamed. That's it. Crawl and give your offering. It's behind you, Sal. Or the people behind you. Did you see that? Xavier had to crawl to the offering basket. Good man. It's a way to do it. Hallelujah. Somebody give me a hallelujah. Yes! The Lord spoke to me this weekend. This is going to be a revival of discipleship. So let's not be afraid of that word. I preached this morning about, I think it was Acts 14. It says, and when they were in the city, I think it was Iconium and Derbe, it said, and they made many disciples. They made many disciples. What does it say? I said, what did it say? Disciples are not born, they're made. They're made. And we need to be made disciples. So I really want to encourage you. Praise God. That was close. Hallelujah. I just had a visual there. I'm glad I didn't do it. Okay. I'm serious now. No, I'm not. Disciples aren't born, they're made. And we have to make a decision about being made a disciple. The gospel is an offense. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace of they that love your law, and nothing shall offend them. So let's be disciples of the word. Let's be a Berean people. You know what the Berean people are? They gladly received the word from Paul and searched the scriptures daily to see what he preached was true. So if you're not daily in the word, I don't want to hear a peep out of any of you. Did you hear that? I don't want to hear a peep out of any of you. If you're going to come to me and speak, let's speak the word. Let's see what the word says. The Bible says we're supposed to compare spiritual with spiritual. People are coming to me with their feelings. I don't care about your feelings. I had one guy come to me that he didn't feel right about what was happening. I said, and you left your wife last month. So you're going by your feelings and you leave your wife. Was that God? Of course it wasn't. So it just shows, if people are going by their feelings, how's that? Where's that going to take you? If you don't have the word for everything you do, everything you say, every single portion of your life needs to have a word backing it up, or you're on sand. Is it true? Let's be a Berean people. Let's be in the word every day. Let that word of God. This week, you know what we're going to read? We're going to read Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and the Gospel of John. What are we going to read? Then Tuesday, how long do you think that'll take? Time yourself. Time yourself. Read those. Time yourself. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and the Gospel of John. And the second time you read it, see if you read it quicker. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying before I put this mic down? Go for it, guys and girls. Go for it. Get the word in you, because it will tear you up. Uncle Steve, you want this?
It's good, yeah. Well, well, well. Makes my job easy now. When the revival first started, it was mainly me having to impart and do a lot of stuff. Only because I had that anointing to do that, but that's passed on a lot of people now. Vaughan's always had a strong anointing, but he's got that impartation thing now, and I was as happy as a pig in mud, just sitting up here and playing the piano and keeping that anointing flowing and just seeing everybody else let loose. It's quite exciting, really, because it's like I used to say at the beginning of the revival, we've got to keep teaching and training and imparting until we do ourselves out of a job. I thought tonight, my goodness, I'm doing myself out of a job. That's good. And not in an insecure way. I thought it was a really good feeling. And I was away preaching this morning at church just in Dryden, just outside of Ithaca. And it was a powerful meeting, a church I've been going to every year since 2001, I think. Great friends with the pastor, and a revival power just hit him. I said, listen, I've just been in revival for 5-6 months, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to water it down for you guys. And it was just a blast of bodies everywhere. Pooh, you know, but real, real strong presence of God. Gold dust floating around, all sorts of things were happening. And yeah, so that was good. And I think it's great what happened in Jamaica. Oh, there's my Bible. I was looking around for it. It's going to flow tonight. I don't really feel like preaching. That's disgusting. Get the meeting back at 9 o'clock. What's going on here? So if you guys get out at 11, that's not my fault. I'm only teasing, folks. It's all right. You can laugh, you know. Just going to mention a scripture, then we'll have a couple of testimonies before I speak. You know, I want to get some of the Jamaicans up here. Jamaicans, people who've been to Jamaica. You've already been testifying. There must be others of you wanting to testify, and you're so full of the anointing, let it loose on people. But also we had people going to Zambia, Sharon and David and who else? Jeremy, they went to Zambia. I thought it'd be good if we hear what God did through them too. So why don't you guys come out? You are prepared, I hope. If you're not, it doesn't matter. Get up anyway. You'll be right. These guys just went. They'll tell you about the trip. They went to Zambia. So who's...
We had a wonderful trip. When we stepped foot in Zambia, it was as if I was back home again. There's a certain feel there that is very familiar to me and a real blessing. When you touch the ground, there's just a beat, there's a taste, there's a just a feeling, and it was very welcoming. When we headed off to the base, we realized that the base is... It's 14 rapids from Victoria Falls. For those of you who don't know, Victoria Falls flows down this big gorge, which is a river, and the base is right there. So while we spent the first couple days, we got to experience what Zambia was like, and it brought back a recollection from when I had gone many years earlier, 1981, to Nigeria. There wasn't much that had changed on a lot of levels when we went out to the bush and went out visiting people. And I realized, you know, why? I was just wondering why that didn't happen. Then we went back to the base, and the base was just so filled with God's grace and God's glory. And I was reading in Ephesians, and Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, and it just says that in the later days that the Lord is going to bring his riches and his glory and his grace to us. And I really saw that with Overland Missions. It was wonderful to see the blessing that God has bestowed, the favor that God has bestowed on Overland Missions itself. While I was there, I had a real purpose, and the purpose was to be able to get to know more about what Overland Missions was doing and be able to come back to the States and be able to help with their planned giving program, and I have a real vision for that, and I feel really blessed because every day another part of that vision would come in, and it's really strong, and I really feel that we're going to be able to help out and really do a lot there for the Lord in building up an endowment and some sustainability in the finances there. And coming back, you know, again, we had a wonderful trip, but I felt, you know, I hadn't had an opportunity to really share my faith as much as I had wanted to. The opportunity just wasn't there. And back at work, back in the, you know, the normal schedule, Crystal had scheduled my days very, very tight. And I realized, what did people want to know? They wanted to know how my trip was. So what an opportunity for me to really share how the trip went and what the Lord was doing. And I was able to share numerous times in the last week and a half with my clients as well as friends and family what the Lord is doing in Zambia, what the Lord is doing here at our church, and what the Lord is doing in my life. And I wanted to share with all of you my life verse. And, you know, we go through life and we have various struggles and we have to make decisions. And Pastor said to read Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, and I do read that every week. I read that several times a week. It's just such a blessing. It's hard not to. And I'd like to share with you Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I that verse has been part of my life since I've been a very young child. And I you know, it's a short verse. It's easy to learn. When we make decisions and we have difficulties in our life, it may not be something that's the normal course, but if we're living for Christ and we know that we're in his purpose, we have nothing to fear, because for us to die is gain. So what do we have to fear? So I would share that with you, and all of you who got back from Jamaica, if you take that as a real opportunity to be able to go and share with those people, you know, the people in your workplace, they want to know how your trip was. Well, tell them. You know, your family wants to know, your friends want to know. Tell them, because that's just another opportunity to really share your faith with the people around you.
Zambia was awesome. It was my first time out of the country. It's definitely kind of weird getting off the plane. It was just a definitely told totally new feel to, like, the world. Like, I thought New York was the world. And the road to the base was bumpy. The food was surprisingly good because I thought it was going to be horrible. I was actually scared that it was going to be, like, really, really bad and I'd have to eat it. But it was good. And we went to villages. We gave out the we gave out a lot of books and toys and, like, soap. And toys. And we just, like, really blessed them a lot by doing that. And we went to an African church on Sunday. That was awesome. They had the greatest music, like, just pure African music. Here you go, David.
Well, Jambi was... Well, Jambi was pretty cool. And I came back with... It's a very extreme place. The poverty, the animals, the hunger, and an extreme need for God. And I was extremely blessed to be a part of that. And we got to go to the villages and play Frisbee with the kids. And then I ended up giving away a lot of my clothes, my shoes, and, you know, stuff. So I was extremely blessed. And, yeah, it was great.
Thank you. It's marvelous. I agree with Vaughn. We should all set a faith goal to go on one or more of these trips, change our lives forever. I remember my first trip, I don't know when it was, 1982 actually. I was a young youth pastor and had a thriving youth group, and I was working with a big team in those days. And the pastor, the church, paid my way to go to a church planters conference in Tucson, Arizona. And that was my first trip to America in 1982. And I just saw this guy in a wheelchair who had a church of 1,000. And what he did was he was sent by a man named Wayman Mitchell, a great apostolic move of God. And he was on his way to Tucson, Arizona to plant a church, and his car flipped over and he broke his spine. And, of course, he's in a wheelchair. But a few months later, when he'd recovered, but, of course, in a wheelchair, he went back to the apostolic leader and said, "I still want to plant that church." And they thought he might have been suffering from emotional depression, whatever. But he was determined, so they sent him. And he used to wheel the streets in his... This is true. I've met him. His name is Harold Warner. He used to wheel the streets in Tucson, Arizona, in his wheelchair, leading people to Jesus. And 5 years later, we're at his conference. He had well over 700 attendants from his own church. Get this, over 90% of them he led to the Lord. 90% of 700 by wheeling the streets. So what's your excuse? What's my excuse? And but not only that, the apostolic authority he had, he was laying hands and sending out the next 20 pastors who he trained up in his discipleship school. And of course, he had a big team around him. And he would just wheel, running past them, you know, wheeling him. Phew. Laying hands on them, bodies flying everywhere, and that changed my life forever. That I thought, wow, if he can do it, I've got no excuse for about anything. And so I was exposed to apostolic revival Christianity in '82, and that set a course of my life for planting churches and doing it with a revival spirit, mixing the two. And it's always been with discipleship, training, leading, and that's what sort of revival this one is, like Vaughn was saying, definitely is. Discipleship Training Center, exactly the same thing. And it's training people who are hungry to go into the nations of the earth. And we may never have huge churches that have got thousands in them. We may have. But we'll certainly have a lot of churches, around 200, 300, 400, that'll spring up all over the world, having been trained here. And there'll be a lot of people who want to relate to what God is doing here later on. They really will. They'll want to relate. They'll say, we want this. And because it's not some great movement with great structure we're starting. It's apostolic move of God and letting men of God develop. And there'll be helps and there'll be training if they desire it, if they need it, because everyone will be at different levels. Obviously, I don't need to go through a church planting course when I've planted a lot of successful churches, but there might be those that need to. So, you know, it's, you don't put rules and regulations on anything. It's just obvious as the Spirit leads. It's pretty exciting. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's pretty good. It's better than nothing. Here we go. All the giggling Gerties are starting already. Turn to Romans chapter 1. You've heard me comment on this verse before, but I'm just going to comment on it again because it's already happened in the meeting. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 11, it's Paul, and he says, I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift. Why? To make you strong. Everybody say, to make you strong. That's why Paul wanted to come and impart some spiritual gift, because he knew there was 9 gifts of the Spirit. There's also the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist. I don't believe you can impart a gift of an apostle to someone. They're either born with that, destined by God for that, or they're not. Simple. I don't believe you can just pray one day at 15 years of age, think, I think I'll be an apostle. I think I'll be an evangelist. It doesn't work that way, friends. You're either called to be it or you're not. But when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Ghost, that's different. You can seek and push in for those things. And so here's what he's saying. He says, I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. And that's the whole idea of impartation. Paul was obviously a great believer in laying on of hands. Paul was obviously a great believer in when he saw men and women standing before him, young men, mature men, whatever, and women, as he was directed by the Holy Ghost, he would lay hands on them, and he had such an impartation from God in his own spirit that when he laid hands upon them, he imparted spiritual power and spiritual gifts via the Holy Ghost through his ministry into them. And why? What was the purpose of it? To make them strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by one another's faith. I long to see you, to impart some spiritual gift to you. I remember many years ago when I had a lot of prophecies over my life from prophets of God that I poo-hard for a long time. But right from 1982, prophets always would prophesy to me this strong impartation gift that God was going to put upon me, where I would just preach and teach. And gifts would be just resting on people, and mantles would be given to people by the Holy Ghost as I was preaching. And the power of God would be demonstrated. And I would lay hands on people and train great armies who would go out and do what I was doing, but in half the time. And I thought, it doesn't mean that much to you when you're a young man, because you're too worried about developing your own ministry. You couldn't care less about bringing everyone else through with you. You know, you just think differently as you get older. So when I was younger, I was interested in imparting the Holy Ghost, but I didn't really know what was happening. But as I began to get older and I began to look back, and all the people I'd laid hands on, not just in the miracles and signs and wonders, but in the signs and wonders of imparting gifts to people and seeing them flourishing in ministry. And then I'd be at their conferences, and they would actually come up to me in the conference and say, if it wasn't for this man sitting here, I wouldn't be here tonight. He laid hands on me in one of his crusades, and something gripped my soul, and I was given a gift by God that has caused me to be now pastoring churches of thousands. This is what I used to hear all the time. And I was the one most stunned, I'll be honest with you. I was the one most stunned. Couldn't believe it was happening. I used to be in part to men of God twice my age and twice my maturity. And they would acknowledge this and didn't give me a swollen head, because they're only encouraging me because it was God's gift. And so that's what we've got to find, what your niche is. You've got to find, and that's what I love to do. I've noticed the older I get is that I just want to impart spiritual gifts to people. Why? To make them strong, so their faith will grow in God. Now, you know, you can get an impartation that helps you along the way, but you still got to push into God yourself and get into the Word of God, into prayer and all that sort of stuff. But you're not going to be able to do it too good without an impartation. And that thrills my heart with the guys that went to Zambia and the guys and gals that went to Jamaica, because I know that a lot of the spiritual power they've picked up is from these meetings. Not just me, but from Vaughan as well, in the discipleship schools. Because I know quite a number of you, some of you already had it, but a lot of you didn't have a clue about the power of God a few months ago. You didn't have a clue how to move in it. And all of a sudden you're moving in it. And when I look at your blog spot of what was happening over there, I was crying my eyes out. And believe me, I don't cry very much unless I'm watching Father of the Bride. Can you believe that? Father of the Bride is my favorite show. Father of the Bride 1 and 2. I reckon I've watched those movies 50, 60, 70 times. Now, it doesn't suit my temperament, my personality. I realize that. If you ever want to see me blubber, just go with me and watch Father of the Bride. I don't like watching it with anybody. I like to watch it in a dark room by myself. And I don't know why that just... It's a good, clean movie, but it just... You ever seen it yourself? It just does something for me. Don't know what, but it does. And so anyway, whatever gets you going, I suppose. But why did I say that? There's a point I was making. Impartation. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But that impartation to make you strong. And that's what this revival's been doing in many people's lives. I get a bit embarrassed of how many come to me behind the scenes and encourage me, and I'm sure Vaughan gets the same as well, where, you know, you say, you don't realize how much God used you to change my life. You don't realize what I was struggling with. You don't know what that power of God in your life has done for me. And you see, that's what revival's all about. It's more of Him. Apparently, I was walking around the other day singing more of me, less of you. And someone said, turn to another person. Who told me about that? I was walking around and apparently I was singing more of me, less of you. I was singing Royce's song. I was meant to sing more of you, less of me. So if anybody heard me singing that, I wasn't up myself. I wasn't egotistical. I honestly thought I was singing more of you, less of me. It's like my first book I wrote, Humility, and how I obtained it. Yeah. Impartation. This is a riveting message. That's all I got. Impartation. No, I think the Jamaican crowd can get up and show us how to do it. It's the impartation. It's not hard at all. You've just got to believe that you've got something from God to give to someone. And you just give it. Then once they hit the deck or whatever happens, you just believe that when they're under the power of God, they're going to get up with strength in their spirit. It's so easy. Because when I was a young guy, as you all know, hands were laid upon me. My prayer life was a few minutes a day, and that's not exaggerating. I was in Bible school, and my first day in Bible school, I king hit a guy straight over the table because I didn't like him. I was 150 students, get this, future crop of Australia's ministries. There's me in first year. I just come from the streets, so to speak. I've been brought up a Christian, but I left it pretty severely when I was a teenager. I come back to the Lord, go to Bible school. That seemed to be the in thing to do. And this guy, I just yawned at the table, and this guy on the next table just grabbed my arm and pulled my muscle. So I just turned around, picked him up, and king hit him straight across the table. And then I sat back down, and he had the gall to hit me in the back of the head. That was it. I grabbed him, threw him through all the chairs, and said, "We're going outside, and you're history." And I've got him by the collar, and he said, "I'm a champion boxer." I said, "Big deal. It's not doing you much good, is it, man?" And then all these students came running up to me saying, "Stephen, we're here to learn to be preachers, you know. You shouldn't be doing this." I suddenly realized I was in Bible school. I thought, I wasn't in a pub anymore. I was in a Bible school. So I thought, I just apologized. I said, "I'm sorry." And we became good friends. And then the third year lecture hall, which was the cream of all the students, we decided to go in there and find out who was the best martial artist in the college. So we got all the martial artists in. It was a fight. Last man standing. It really was. We completely demolished the third year lecture hall. Holes everywhere in all the gyp rock and, oh God, I don't know why they didn't kick me out, but I was the last one standing. I couldn't get, so I was very happy about that. Mind you, all the rest were about 3 years of age, so that was easy. No, they were just, it was just good fun. But then in the midst of all this, this man of God comes, lays hands on me. I just told a group of friends I don't even believe in laying out of hands or falling under the power, so I hit the deck. And no catches, nothing. And God began to speak to me. My prayer life goes to hours a day. Then a few months later, same thing. Prayer life goes to more hours a day. And they had all those supernatural encounters. But there's no doubt about it. I received an impartation from those men of God. That's what triggered it off, made me strong. How can you go from 3 minutes a day to 3 hours on your knees or on the bed, sitting upright, locked in a glory cloud for 3 hours every day? How can you do that without your mind wondering or even a hint of not falling asleep? Has to be God. I must have received the impartation from somewhere. It was from men of God. They didn't necessarily do that themselves, but God used them as a vehicle to transfer to my life, and I'm so glad they did. And I still honor those men to this day because of that. And you've got to do that. The best way to stop your head from getting swollen up, where you have to have low-calorie shampoo for your fat head because it gets so full of pride, is acknowledge and honor the ones who trained you. I always think it's amazing how some guys I've trained, when they talk about, I hear them on tapes, listen to a good friend of mine preaching who I train, and never acknowledge that I trained him. And it wasn't an ego trip for me. I felt sorry for him. I thought, you think you're so high and mighty. You've forgotten the one who trained you. And I'm thinking, God, don't ever raise me to a place where I think that I don't need to acknowledge the people that helped me along, especially the ones that imparted to me. We've got to have that heart, friends, all the time, that is just acknowledging people and honoring people. That's what it's all about, I'm telling you. If you ever think that you've got to where you've got just with you and the Holy Ghost, you're a liar. Somebody's imparted to you that triggered you off. I mean, I've got a lot of stuff in the Spirit on the anointing, but I learned a lot of it from Benny Hinn and Kenneth Hagin. I used to read their books, anything to do with the anointing. And also God gave me a lot. The one that I speak on, to be filled, to be led, to be powered, that is directly from heaven. That's my stuff. Many other people use it today, but that I got that as a revelation. I didn't hear anybody preach that. But a lot of other stuff I learned from other men of God, and Rodney Howard Brown. There's nothing wrong with that at all. They received it from the Spirit and I witnessed to it. And of course you study it and you formulate your own material with it. But I always acknowledge, don't ever get up and preach and make out you've had some revelation when you got it from somebody else. Because I guarantee you someone sitting in the audience has heard that other man preach it. They'll challenge you. It's true. Always acknowledge other people's material. What's that got to do with impartation? Everything. Absolutely everything. God just wants you to do it. I said, well, you just do it because I like talking. I'm not getting the meetings till 9 o'clock these days. That's no inference to Vaughan. You can go until midnight for all I care. But don't think if you're going to get me up at 9 o'clock, then I'm going to rush through it. Forget it. Get me up earlier. Because there's got to be time for everything. You can't just decide to lay hands on people and expect magic to happen. Like a surfboard rider, you got to hit the right wave, man. And the wave comes. Some guys can just say, hey, everybody out here now, just get it. And all you got was a touch. You didn't get an impartation. You want an impartation, it's got to be a build-up in your spirit. And it's got to be let loose into somebody else's body and life. And you see, we can become very familiar with all this because we're all very used to it. I couldn't believe it when we were up there worshiping and God said to me, you know, you guys, he's asking me, show me your glory every week in your prayer meetings, show me your glory. He says, what do you think I'm doing? Why don't you start thanking me for the little level of glory I'm giving you and it will increase? Why don't I start thanking me for the anointing? So what do you mean? He said, look around. He said, look at all those people that fell under the power of God without any catches in the worship. What do you call that? I was looking at little Hannah, Josh and Elaine's daughter, bawling her eyes out the whole worship session. And you could see her heart hungering for God. And I thought, wow, how old is she? 8, 7, 8, 9 years of age. And it wasn't just a little kid crying because of the emotions of a song. It's coming from her heart. And I looked around, there's quite a number of people doing that. What do you call that? An emotional touch or the glory of God hitting people? Of course it's the glory. So we've got to really start thanking him for what we're having. Thanking him for the ones that are getting healed. Thank you for the ones that are been imparted and thanking him for his glory. And as we thank him, it'll grow and grow and get stronger and stronger. If we keep on saying, show me, show me, show me, he's saying, I am, I am, I am. Why do you see it? Stupid idiot. No, he would never say that. Just lift your hands, folks. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. the wonderful impartation of the Holy Ghost. Help me not to become familiar with it, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus, see this is fresh. Because, you know, friends, the amazing thing is when you're using a gift, it can become familiar to you and you tend not to want to use it because you think, well, I'm doing it every week. People will be getting sick of this. So I got to keep myself more fresh than anybody here. So your job's to spearhead a revival. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure with that too. Pressure of not to perform. Pressure of just being led by the Spirit every week. You want to try it. It's not that easy. And so I'm so thrilled that that was a revival spirit on Vaughan tonight. It wasn't just an apostle or a pastor laying hands on people. He's so hungry for God, he's catching this revival spirit now. Pretty soon we'll be able to have revival fires in a few different places. Don't look to man. Don't look to Vaughan or myself and think, well, when will God ever move them on? When will we? Listen, get your eyes off man, get them onto Jesus. God can raise up a number of revivalists just like that. It's stepping into it. Oh my goodness, God, just rain down your power, rain down your impartation on these people. God, rain it down on them. You've imparted so much. Keep imparting. I just see a church building full of hungry people, hungering for him. Some of you got a good taste of that. In Zambia, you got a good taste of it. In Jamaica. And you'll never be the same. You'll never be able to come back here and get into normal life. I didn't say you won't work again, but you watch it, you guys and gals who have just been on these trips. You'll find it so hard to get back into normal everyday life. Well, don't make it everyday normal life. Make it extraordinary. See it as a means to an end to get money for your next trip. And your next trip and your next trip. So you're so overwhelmed by God, you have to go full time because you've got no other time to do it but to be full time. It's the way it works. Some young guys, work. Get yourself jobs. How do you think you all got to Jamaica? Sure, there was supports and all that and fundraisers. They're okay. But that's not really the way to go. Get a job and earn some money. It's the way you do it. I haven't got time to work. I'm evangelizing on the streets all day. What a bunch of rubbish. Get yourself a job. You probably lead more people to Jesus at work. We just make excuses. We're just lazy bums. That's all it is. Sorry. I'm really strong on that. I'm probably stronger than Vaughan or anybody on it. Because I was brought up working class and if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. Simple. Sponging off other people all the time. We've got to make our own way. Must say, well, you take love offerings. Yep, I think I've earned my right to do that. Over 28 years of just pressing into God. Well, Vaughan gets a wage, so we should. He should be getting a lot more too. Why? Because he's paid his price. When you've paid that price, then you'll probably be shouted airfares places and you'll probably have people pay your way. You've got to earn that right first, friends. You've got to have something to say. You've got to have something to give. You just don't buy a microphone and went. You've got to be sent. It's pretty clever. All right, I want four or five of you from Jamaica who haven't yet testified and you're just wanting to testify. Would you come out here? Or maybe Carrie and Chris can help us if you think anybody should come. Well done, Chris. Well, they're all coming out. Just share whatever.
I want to share three things. First of all, how I was just blessed down there. The last day when we were having just a very short vacation Bible school, for a while all of the staff just stopped singing. And just to hear the kids sing, "Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong," You just knew that it was in their hearts, and nobody can ever take that away from them. They had it in their heart. They knew that song. And so when times would be hard or whatever, God can bring that back to their mind. The second thing I want to share is don't ever think that something you do is not producing fruit. Because it really just blew me away, because I did not remember talking to the girl, Shireen, that Alice was talking about this morning. We went out and we talked to a lot of people, and a lot of the Jamaicans would just say, oh, yes, yes, because they just wanted to please us. You know, they just wanted us to feel like, oh, yeah, I'll come. But a lot of them didn't respond, and I just, you know, was getting this same yes, yes, yes from them, and I just thought, oh, well. But when Alice asked her, you know, what made you come to this church? And she said, that lady, the lady in purple, she invited me to come. And I didn't even remember it. And then Cassie brought it back to my memory of the situation of where we were and how I had invited her. But then God used almost every single member of the team to touch her somehow, either with a word of encouragement or a prayer or just being her friend. And the third thing I want to share is really hard, because I know there's people out there who have excuses running through their head, because I had excuses of why I shouldn't go or what I shouldn't do, because we all have things that are bigger than they really are in our mind. And you know, when we've been talking about mission trips different times, you know, many of you know I have vitiligo, and it's where, well, I'm like a multiracial person all in one. Parts of my skin just turned white when I was in my 30s, and they don't have a cure for it. And I just thought, well, you know, maybe they're going to think I'm weird, or maybe it's going to be scary to them if they've never heard of that or seen it, but absolutely nobody said anything about it at all. And I've been in situations where people are like, whoa, is that leprosy? You know, so I was scared. I didn't know how the people would react, but it wasn't anything to worry about. The second thing I thought about, you know, I don't know, what if I'm out doing something and I wear hearing aids and sometimes the battery goes dead and boom, you're not hearing anything. And I thought, well, what if the battery goes dead? And, you know, they're real little batteries, so sometimes I don't have a pocket, or, you know, if I put it in my pocket, it could fall out or whatever. But I just want you to know that sometimes things that you're facing are really bigger than what they are, because there was no problems with my hearing aids the whole time I was down there. And I just want to encourage you to step past, I know yours may not be hearing aids and vitiligo, but whatever it is, step past there. Get past there and go and do and speak to people and encourage people, because the gift is in you to give out. It's not about you. It's about God.
Amen. Jamaica was such a good experience. I remember the first day we went down, we did our worship, and I guess we, like, worshiped for a long time because we're used to it, you know? We like to do it, you know? So I remember, like, I guess they don't really worship that long. So Pastor Bill was like, I don't know if any of you are complaining, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to worship, you know? But, like, the next couple of days, they got used to it and whatever. They started worshiping with us. The anointing was in the place. It was just so amazing. And then I talked to one of the girls today, and I was like, she asked me how church was, and I was like, it was awesome today. And I asked her the same thing. She said it was so good. Praise and worship went on for like over an hour, and the anointing just flowed in the place. So it was just so amazing how hungry they are. And it's and especially the youth, you know, they are so hungry, and it's just so good to see not just us, but other people who want the same. So
I know that this trip really, really tested my boldness level, because, Yeah, I am very outgoing, and I'm not up on a stage, but as soon as I have a microphone and I'm supposed to talk, it, like, totally closed down, and everything hurts, and my back starts to kill me and everything, and I don't know, I just really don't like it. And so it took me 3 days to get the guts up to go out and evangelize with Brian and the guys and everything. I was so scared. I kept telling myself, I was like, oh, well, I'm preaching tomorrow night, so I better, you know, just go pray or something, because I really did not want to go. I was so scared, like, walking up to people I didn't know to be like, hey, you know about Jesus? Like, I was so scared about that. And so on Wednesday, I finally went out, and I actually didn't really talk to anybody personally. I kind of just, like, followed Brian around, and I was just like, amen, brother, amen. And I felt so good. And so we met back at the church around 4 o'clock, and yeah, we were all just standing there, and there was this woman and her two kids standing up at the top. They were standing up on a balcony, and Brian was like, so, you know, let's test that boldness level. Go talk to them. And I was like, oh, man, like, I was so scared, and I was just like, okay. So, like, I walked up the stairs as slow as I could, and I was just like, oh, God, I was so scared. And I walked up, and I was just like, hey, you know, I'm Ashley, and I just started talking to him and everything, and I ended up praying for the woman and her children, and they came to church that night, and I was so excited. And her mom and, you know, the mom ended up getting saved. And it was so awesome. And her daughter was so funny. She was like 7. She'd never seen people fall out, and, you know, people were getting prayed for everywhere and falling down. And she came up to me, and she was just like, why are they on the ground? And I was like, well, they're happy because God's talking to them. And she was just like, well, I don't do that when I'm happy. So, you know, she was really confused about that. And I was like, well, if you want that, you know, you can get prayed for. So Kiana prayed for her, and she fell down. You could see it all over her face that she was really receiving it. She was not copying anybody. And she was down for, like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. She got up. She came up. She was like, I want it again. So she ended up getting prayed for 4 or 5 times that night. It was incredible. And she came to the Vacation Bible School the next morning with her little brother, and she got prayed for then. And then that night, she was prayed for, and she received the gift of tongues. She's 7 years old, and she was just speaking in tongues. You know, they put the microphone up to her, and she was just going off. I was like, whoa. And I felt the Lord telling me that, you know, that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't gone to talk to them. You know, that woman never would have got, she wouldn't have gotten saved. And that little girl wouldn't have, you know, saw God's love that way, and she wouldn't have received that gift. And I was so blessed by seeing that. So it was just really awesome.
There's two things that I wanted to share. The first one was my maybe misconception, I'm not sure exactly what the right word is, but throughout my life, I've never really needed anything. My parents supplied everything I needed. But these children and what I saw, what they needed and what they were looking for, and the beginning of the Vacation Bible School, there weren't a lot of kids there, and towards the last day, I think we had over 100, almost 200, and it's like they just kept on coming and coming and coming because they needed us, and that really touched my heart that they weren't getting it from their community. They weren't getting it from their parents, and they needed us to supply simple things, real simple things. And the other thing I want to share, the song we did this morning, we are all the dancers stomping on the injustice. And the injustice was the cultural, the witchcraft, the religious, and by the last, I think the last night, I'm in the back and I'm just twirling around and I'm knocking everybody over. It was just great. It was absolutely great.
I just wanted to extend on what Cassidy said this morning, that we went to Jamaica expecting a change and for the power of God to be in Jamaica, and how we wanted what was imparted into the people to actually stay there when we were gone. And she said that this 21-year-old Frankie, was on the ground and he was praying for someone, and how she was so excited. But I was in the front, praise and worshiping, and he was also going around praying for other people. And he was up there, and he and other people from our team were coaching him through it and actually teaching him how to impart a quick anointing into all of the other people. And that's just it.
Praise God. Jamaica was amazing. And the one thing that really ministered to me was actually even on the first night. It was Carrie and I, we were praying for this one girl. It was the first service, and I got a word of knowledge for this girl who, I saw her in this dark alley, and I just started praying. And I said, I see this little girl in a dark alley, and I don't know if it's really physical or if it's spiritual, but whatever it is that you're doing that's causing frustration, or whatever books you're reading, music you're listening to, whatever darkness, that thing that's pressing you down, it's like you have to get rid of that, whatever it is, and because you're called to be a child of the light. And so after we were done praying, actually it was even that night, she came up to me after the service, after the night service, and she just came up to me and she thanked me for praying for her. And she's like, thank you so much, because I told my mom about it, and just like how right the words that you spoke over me were true, and the reason why I came back tonight is because of what you said, and I need that change. And I was just blown away that what we've been learning in the School of the Spirit, you know, just words of knowledge and going with that, you know, okay, if God gives me a nudge, or if I think something's like weird to me of like, wait, is that really God, or is that me, or, you know, but just to move in that and to see that as you're obedient, you set people free. If you would have held on to that, it would have never ministered to her. Maybe she wouldn't have never come back that night. And the other thing is that with Roy Fields coming, he always was saying, you know, that you're a carrier of his presence. And that just really hit me of how much we are carriers of his presence wherever we go. And not only are we carriers, I thought of like a mailman, of like, okay, being a carrier, you don't just carry it, but you give it away, and you give it away for them to open it up and to receive that gift. It's not something to be, you know, to hold on to, but to share it. And so, amen.
Praise God. When we first got there, the first thing that caught my attention was, besides the heat, but was we were in service, and I remember hearing it was Carrie and Chris's anniversary, and I was in shock. I was like, whoa. They went out of, you know, their marriage and their own self-seeking, and to go minister to others in another country. And it kind of touched me in a way, as in, wow, like, I can't believe, you know, someone would do that for God. You know, I really didn't think someone would actually do that. I think they would take, you know, time for themselves to spend time with their husband and wife or whatever. But thank you, Chris and Carrie, for, you know, changing my whole vision of thinking. but
besides that, I grew this boldness in my heart because I was nervous to just even get up there. I was a little hesitant to just talk to people or whatever, because it was, the crowd grew from the first day we've been there. So it was like, wow, so how am I supposed to talk to all these people? And I remember just standing behind one of these stands like that, and next thing I know, I just push it to the side. And I was like, you know, what am I scared for? Like, why I'm nervous? I'm free from it, you know? It's like, it didn't make any sense at all. While I was just standing by her like, this and that, God did this for me. It's like, I should be happy, you know, because I'm free from it, you know? So, praise God.
Good night, everybody. That's what they do in Jamaica. They say good night. When I first heard that, I was like, why are you saying good night? We're leaving? But anyways, I think the best part of going to Jamaica was, are you guys done laughing now? No, just checking. No, the best part of going to Jamaica was actually the kids. They were like a blessing to my heart. Like, you had to have been there. We would get on the bus and we would get there before the time needed. I think the kids had to be there like 8:45 or something like that. We would get there at like 8:00, 8:15, and the kids would all be there waiting for the bus to show up just for us to get started. And just when you see stuff that like that, it's like, wow. But to elaborate on what Stacy said about the kids, when we first started off doing these songs and dances, you know, the kids would sit in front of us just like this, and we do these dances, and they just stared at us like this. Like, I'm not doing that. So I was like, oh, I don't know how we're going to get these kids to start moving with us. And then by the last day, they know the songs by heart. And they're like, forever God is great. It was beautiful. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And the second thing was when I had to preach, because it's actually funny how it worked out, because I got sick one night, and I was knocked out. I had a breakdown in front of Carrie. Couldn't move. Head was hurting and all of that. But the next night, I ended up speaking, and it was such a boldness and confidence. And normally, like, everyone knows me to be bold and speak with confidence. But when I preach, I'm like, you know, I work with notes and all that, and then I don't, you know, I kind of wander. But this time, it was just bam, bam. It was, like, sharp. And I have to thank Steve and Pastor Vaughn and Carrie and Chris, because I don't know. After what they told me, and everyone was like, you know, just work on it. You don't need notes. You know what you're going to say. I didn't use no notes, and it was just bam, bam, bam. It felt great. And to know what I said was effective, one of the things I talked about was hearing from God more clearly. And the reason why we don't hear from God clearly is because there's things we haven't dealt with, we haven't killed off, what I talked about here one time. And one of the guys, Travis, was getting up to talk saying how we helped them out. And he said, well, two things happened through this revival. He said, I got healed and I heard from God. And just knowing that he said, I heard from God, I know that what I said, like, helped him, because he killed whatever he needed to die to. And the fact that he's like, I heard from God, I was like, oh, I preached about that. You know, I know that helped you. But yeah.
Wonderful.